Welcome to Youth Sunday, this Sunday evening. Who's happy to be here this evening? Amen. We are so happy that you're here supporting the youth, and we are expecting a move of God tonight. How does that sound? That sound good? So go ahead and stand up. We're going to move into praise, and I encourage you, if you can at all, to give what you have to the Lord. If it's just a wiggle, if it's a dance, if it's a run, if it's a shout, if you're on a scooter today, I don't care. Whatever it is, we can give it to God tonight. We can begin to lift up praises unto Him. Father, You are so worthy. God, I give You all of the glory in this place.
You are good. be here tonight. It's good to be here. I'm here for prayer requests. I don't have a list to read. Well, actually, I do. I didn't read this all the way. I'm sorry. So there are going to be ones on the board, obviously, to read. And I'm going to read these off. And if you see any on the board that you feel convicted to pray for, you feel like God is pushing you to pray for them, please do that. You have no idea. Like, we all know the idea of the healing power of God. We know that He can heal us. We know that He can do anything. I mean, he's the most amazing thing that there is. And we know that, and we have faith that He's going to touch our needs. Jeff Duncan, Charlie and Velma Whitley, Nell Thompson and family, Brittany Wise, Singh Hood, Rodney and Pam Pollard, Chris Ferris, Lynn Ivor, Sister Formby, Prissy Clark, Mia Bell Bratcher, Charlotte Murray, and Geraldine Osmus all need prayer. And if you have a need, please come to the front. I urge you to step out in faith. And you step out in faith, and God will bless you. It might not be right now, but any healing is miraculous. So it could be right now, it could be in 2 years, but you got your healing, didn't you? So you ought to have the faith that God will touch you. So if you go to prayer with me, Jesus, I pray that you touch every need. I just say all the people that have come here to sacrifice for you today.
Yeah.
The ushers would please come for offering at this time. I was thinking, I had a thought that really, it came to me. It might be a thought that's like just meant for me, and that's good and all, but I just thought I'd share it with y'all for a sec. Wednesday, we had an amazing guest speaker, Tanner Malone. He's so good. I saw him walk up there, and he was there. He had papers or anything. I was like, oh, he's about to tear the house down. He did good. He did really good. I was so proud of him. Man, he's so cool. But I was sitting there, and I was thinking, and ever since NTYC, they've been talking about the harvest, you know, and he'd been talking about getting laborers. He's like, it's now. Now's the time, you know, and which is crazy because in Sunday school, the Sunday after, we had a lesson on the harvest, and we taught the kids about the harvest, and I was like, that's so crazy, and I've just been watching, and we're having it's called Men of Valor. It's a Bible study, and it's so cool. It's so phenomenal because we've had so many guys come to it already, and we've only done one, and I'm excited for Tuesday because we're having another one. But we had people come there, and they responded. They asked questions. They came to Wednesday night service, and we have people coming to Sunday night services. The harvest is here. You know, we have people coming in. People were very, very hungry because if you look in the world right now, it's dark, but people are looking for something good, and people are finding something good. And it's so cool because I was wondering, I was like, man, how do I witness to someone, you know? There's so many people teaching, like, how to witness and, like, you know, do this, this, and that, and it hit me Wednesday. I was like, just talk. Just tell your story. Just talk about what you've been reading in the Bible. Apply it to your life. Because what, like he said Wednesday, what happened then, what could be applied back then, can be applied right now in your life. It's been applied throughout history. And it's so amazing that God just put that thought in my head. Because I was so confused after NTYC. I was like, how do I do this? And I was able to give one of my former teammates a small 15-minute Bible study. But it's crazy because he was the last guy that I would expect, which I don't say that to judge, but like, he was the last guy that I would expect would ask me for a Bible study. And I thought I would have to go ask him, but he came up to me one day after playing ball at a gym for like an hour or two. And he's like, do you go to church? I was like, yeah. I was like, all the time. And he's like, can you give me a Bible study? Just wanted to hear about the Word of God. And I was like, yeah. And I put out this little thing, this little Bible study that I got at NTYC. And I filled in all the blanks, and I read and studied over. And we had a 15-minute Bible study, and we prayed. And nothing, like, crazy phenomenal happened, but that seed was planted, and I could tell he was hungry because he wanted to know about it. And I was so happy that he did. So happy for that. But if y'all would bow and pray with me. God, I pray that you would touch the offering, touch everyone who gives, touch the singers in this song, God. I pray that you touch Brother Stephen as he delivers the message, and touch the rest of this service. In Jesus' name, amen.
As we repent, turn from sin, oh, sound. I can hear the sound.
I can hear the sound of abundance rain. I can hear the sound. I can hear the sound. I can hear the sound of abundance rain. I can hear the sound. I can hear the sound. I can hear the sound of abundance rain. I can hear the sound. I can hear the sound. I can hear the sound of abundance rain. I can hear the sound. I can hear the sound. I can hear the sound of abundance rain. I can hear the sound. I can hear the sound. I can hear the sound of abundance.
Sound of abundance of rain was spoken, there wasn't a cloud in the sky. To the sight of our human eyes, it would be ridiculous to say that I smell rain, that it may shower. But he doesn't just say that. He says, but I can hear the sound of the abundance of rain, that you may not see it right now, but not only is it coming, but it is abundant. It is more than you could ever imagine. It is more than you could ever want or need. And so we have situations tonight that if you're in here, if you're watching online, that there isn't a cloud in the sky when you feel like God has promised you rain. But tonight we can hear the sound of abundance of blessings pouring out, of healing, of deliverance. What it is you're looking for, God is the source. And he doesn't just have just enough, but he's got abundant amount. If we could give our youth praise team a hand. They're my favorite band, and so I enjoy them so much. I give it up for my wife for leading them. Praise God. And we'll move into the scripture, and then we'll move into, we'll pray, and then we'll get into the message. But the scripture originally that this comes from is 2 Samuel 23, verses 11 through 12. 2 Samuel 23, 11 through 12. It's Old Testament. It's right after 1 Samuel. It's just before 3 Samuel. We're still waiting on 3 Samuel. That one hadn't been released yet. So 2 Samuel 23, 11 through 12 says, "And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Hararite. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop. And there was a piece of ground full of lentils. And the people, Shammah's people, they fled from the Philistines. But he, Shammah, stood in the midst of the ground and defended it, and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory." Before we sit down, could we all just extend a hand towards heaven right now? That a word just isn't spoken, but God's word is delivered. And that it plants a seed in our heart that ignites change, it ignites growth, it ignites action tonight. So God, I don't want just a service. I don't want just an ordinary experience here, but God, I want you to shift the atmosphere in my life and in my mind. God, I want you to move in my situation, because I can't afford to leave here the same way I walked in. But God, I need you to move. I need you to move in my life, and I'm going to do whatever it takes, God, to get in line with you. I'm going to do whatever it takes so I can move where you're wanting me to go, that I can hear what you're wanting to say, that I can obey the words you are speaking. So God, I pray that you anoint every single person in here to respond, to be doers of your word and not just hearers. And God, I pray that you give me the strength and sensitivity to deliver your word in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. You may be seated. Tonight's message comes, the inspiration, it comes from the psalmist Tom Petty. Son of Earl Petty. And I didn't expect to have this song. I'm sure you've heard it. Those that have laughed have heard it. And I didn't expect it to minister to me the way that it did. And I've heard it plenty of times throughout my life. I've heard it, you know, if you ever, for me, I was introduced to it. I watched the movie Barnyard when I was a kid. And it was traumatizing, because if you haven't watched that movie, that is an intense scene for a six-year-old. But I've heard this song several times throughout my life, and maybe a few weeks ago, one morning, it came on whenever I was driving, and I just started just crying. I just felt ridiculous. But as this song was playing, like this message just flooded me, and I knew that this was what I needed to preach for this Youth Sunday. And so I texted Callan, my wife, you know, about this. She was like, "Are you serious?" I'm like, "Yeah, I think so." And so we're excited that the title of my message tonight is I Won't Back Down. I Won't Back Down. And if you have not heard the song before, or maybe it's been a while, and if you don't mind, I'm going to read a few of the lyrics for you. It's very simple. It says, well, I won't back down. No, I won't back down. You could stand me up at the gates of hell, but I won't back down. No, I'll stand my ground, won't be turned around, and I'll keep this world from dragging me down. I'm going to stand my ground. There is no easy way out. I will stand my ground, and I won't back down. Well, I know what's right, that I've got just one life. In a world that keeps on pushing me around, I will stand my ground. No, I won't back down. Turn to your neighbor and say, I won't back down. There's nothing like living for God. Living for God is worth the fight that you experience. Living for God is worth every heartache that we experience, every frustration. Living for God is worth everything that we have ever gone through up until this point in our life. That when living for God, we have made choices, that we have established convictions in our life, that we have turned away from things and left behind certain aspects of our life that used to be common, but then upon seeing the faithfulness of God, upon being upheld by his righteous right hand, just like he has promised, upon having a prayer answered that we have whispered in our darkest time, we have realized that living a life separate from the world and in his marvelous light is something that we wouldn't trade for anything. However, every single day, Christians are leaving the church and are abandoning truth. Every single day, Christians and possibly even people that are in this very congregation tonight are sliding closer and closer towards leaving the church. Why? Is it because they're terrible people? No. Not even close. But because the enemy desperately tries to convince you and me and every child of God that the reward for living for God is not worth the storms and the tribulations and the difficulties that come along with it. But this couldn't be further from the truth that, do we have anyone here that has not lived for God their entire life that's willing to maybe raise their hand? Okay, so whenever, before y'all lived for God, did y'all have any tough times before you came to church? You had bad days, you had trials, tough storms? Okay. When you started living for God, did you have tough times? Yeah, weird. Okay. Well, this reminds me of something. Luckily, I have it written down. As Matthew 7, 24 through 27, it says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them, and this is Jesus speaking, that we will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came. And when the winds blew and slammed against that house, yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine but does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and slammed against the house and it fell and its collapse was great. The storm hit both houses. The exact same storm hit both houses. You can see in the vernacular of the scripture, it's the exact same words. It's that the rain fell and the floods came on both of them, that the winds blew and slammed against both houses. It did not hit one and not hit the other. It hit the one that was on the rock and it hit the one that was on the sand. So whether you are sitting on the front pew every single Sunday or you are the president of the I Love Lucifer fan club, storms are going to hit you. That you're going to have hard times. But in Matthew 7, only one house is said to be standing in the end when the storm settles. It's the only one that's standing is the one that was built on Jesus. It was the one leaning on something that was stronger than itself. It was the one that was leaning not on its own understanding, but in all of its ways, acknowledging him and allowing him to direct its paths. And what we need to understand is being baptized in Jesus' name, like Acts 2:38 tells us, and receiving the Holy Ghost, like Acts 2:38 tells us, does not exempt us from the storms. It equips us to outlast them. It gives us the power to overcome what destroys the hearts and the minds of those who do not know Jesus. Acts 1:8 says, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and as far as the remotest parts of the earth," meaning that we were meant to share the gospel that allows people to withstand the storms. But we cannot do that if we're not able to stand firm through our own storm. Parents, you're not able to show your children how to overcome life if you're not able to stand your ground in the midst of your own battle. And students, you're not able to show your classmates what to look for when times get tough. And if you're not able to overcome your own battles and to stand firm in the midst of your own storm, that they will continue to look deeper into the world, into drugs and into sex and alcohol and self-harm and more things. If we don't decide to dig our heels into the rock of ages and decide that the gates of hell may be coming against me, but they're not going to prevail, but I am not going to back down, that I am not going to lose what I have fought for, that I have fought and I have faced tough times and I'm not giving up now because I need to overcome, but people around me need me to overcome, that my classmates need to see me overcome tough times. Yeah, my family is not getting along. Yeah, maybe I've lost somebody, but if they can look at me and see that I'm not backing down, then they have faith and they have a hope, and the children are looking at their parents and saying, if my parents can get through that, there's nothing that I can't overcome, because I know I can get through this because I've watched my mom, I've watched my dad, I've watched my brother, I've watched my sister go through this, and if there's something holding them up, I know it can hold me up. I'm leaning on the rock. I'm not backing down. I'm trusting in Jesus, but not just for me, but for those around me. We all experience attacks of the enemy, and somebody is going to see victory, and it might as well be you. In 2 Samuel, our first scripture, it says the people fled. Everyone was under attack, but the only one person saw the victory. And it was Shammah, the man who was in the midst of the field of lentils, the one who stood his ground, the one who fought back whenever everybody else ran from the enemy and ran from the battle, ran from the storm and did not hold their ground, but one man did. And he is the one who saw the victory. If you're going to experience battles and storms and attacks, you might as well stick around to see the victory. And it's interesting, though, because scripture doesn't say that Shammah brought the victory in this moment, though. So he did the action that he slew the Philistines, but it says the Lord wrought a great victory. And if you actually look at that word, it means that it formed or it shaped a victory. That wasn't just plug and play. Whenever you wrought something, usually you're having to bend and shape and form. It wasn't in the shape it was supposed to be. Maybe you needed it to be a 90-degree angle, and it wasn't yet, and so you have to bend it. And so it's saying that Shammah maybe wasn't exactly the perfect candidate. Maybe he didn't have everything together, but whenever he stood his ground and he was in the midst of the enemy believing in God to give him strength, he was shaping and formed into what was able to be a tool used for God's great victory in that moment. But it was never about Shammah and his ability. It was never about how mighty and powerful he was, because did you know what his name means in Hebrew? It means loss and desolation. And desolation means complete emptiness and destruction. Now we can relate a little more to Shammah. Like, I think me and Shammah got something in common. I feel I can relate to that a little more. That's standing alone in this lentil field, defending his people, was a man literally named loss, emptiness, and destruction. Now, I don't claim to be a prophet, but if I were in my house and the enemy is marching toward us and a man named Empty Loser stood up and said, "I will fight. I'm packing my bags. it's not good for us. I know it's not going to work out. I know that if my livelihood is depending on a man named Empty Loser, that things probably are not going to work out. It's not going to end well, and it shouldn't have. Because Shama by himself had no ability to win this battle, no matter how much battle experience he had. He was completely outnumbered, but Shama was not alone in this battle. And I don't know what armor or what clothes that Shama was wearing that day, but reading the passage, including him, it sounds an awful lot like he was wearing the armor of God. And if we look at the armor of God, it says to put on all of God's armor so that you'll be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so that you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then, after the battle, you will be standing firm. Stand your ground. Putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes with the good news that you will be fully prepared. And in addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. When you have God with you, when you have equipped yourself with the things of God, the odds in your battle begin to dramatically shift. Shama by himself means loss and emptiness, but according to Ezekiel 48:35, do you know what Jehovah Shama means? The Lord is there. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Liberty in your circumstance, liberty from your struggle, victory in Jesus when you should have fallen and you should have faced destruction. That scripture says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, because you used to be empty. You used to should have been destroyed. But when Jesus walked into the situation, they're no longer looking at emptiness. They're no longer looking at desolation, but they're looking at him saying, God is there. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, addiction is broken. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, marriages are put back together. Where he used to be empty, he used to be broken, but something changed in the midst of the battlefield, and now there is victory. That's why we don't give up. That's why we don't compromise. That's why we don't conform to this world, but we allow ourselves to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. That's why we don't back down from the truth. That's why we don't back down from what we have known to be true time and time again. That's why we don't allow the lies of the enemy to distract us and allow us to forget everything that God has brought us through, every prayer that he has answered, every single time that we have experienced his presence. We can't afford to back down. We can't afford to lose our ground. We can't afford to allow him to drift away from us. New musicians, you may come. We have too many people depending on us to stand in the lentil field and to stand our ground, to be full of the Spirit and to be victorious in Jesus Christ, that we have gone through too many hurts and too many trials to just give up now. That I've seen saints in my life, I've seen people that I've looked up to that have lived for God longer than I've been alive, than to walk away whenever things got too hard. But I want to tell somebody tonight that for me, myself, that we have gone through too many hurts and trials to give up, that I have experienced too much hell just to go through my life and then go to hell. But let me tell you that I've experienced too much heaven on this earth to not go there. That I've experienced too much heaven at this altar for me to end up not going there in the end. I've experienced too much blessings and too much joy and too much peace to go through this life and not be there for eternity. And so tonight, if you've gone through hell, or maybe you've tasted and seen glimpses of what the goodness of God is able to provide for you, and maybe you haven't been baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost with evidence of speaking in tongues, tonight is your night. The Acts 2:37 through 38 says, now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart, and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what are we to do? And Peter said to them, repent. Turn away from your sins. Leave the old life behind. Leave the things that are hurting you, dragging you down, and turn towards Jesus. And each of you need to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of each and every single one of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. But what's the Holy Spirit? Why would I need that? Why do I need to be baptized as well? Because Jesus in John 3:5 says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless someone is born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. I don't want people to go through hell in this earth, to experience a touch of heaven, maybe through us as we walk past them, as we interact with them, and then end up going through life and not experience heaven completely, and end up going through hell in this earth, and then to go to hell for eternity. But we have to make up in our mind that no matter what comes up against us, no matter what tries to make us conform, no matter what tries to make us slide away from truth and makes us try to say, well, is this a big deal? Is this something worth fighting for? Is this a place you really want to battle? Shama decided to fight what he thought very well could have been to the death in a bean field. A field of lentils is what it said. How insignificant must that seem? Did that be the place that a warrior would fight his final battle? But that wasn't, whenever he looked at this field, when he looked at this lentil field, this wasn't just a field of beans. This wasn't just a lentil field. But when he stood there, he knew that his family was behind him. He knew that this wasn't the only thing. He knew that there was much more. And if he allowed the enemy to get past this field, that they were going to go further. And they were going to go further. So when people say, is that a heaven or a hell issue? Is this a big deal? Is this really something you're worth you fighting for? Yes, it is. Because it's not just a bean field, it's not just a lentil field, but it's holiness. It's not just a lentil field, but it's my family. It's not just a lentil field, but it's what keeps me in line. It's not just a lentil field, but it's what holds me to the truth. So it may look insignificant to you, it may look unimportant to you, but to me, that's my family. To me, that's my future. To me, that's me staying away from my past. To me, that's the victory that my family will read about. That's the victory that people will preach about in 2024. Everyone could stand across the building. If you have been baptized and filled with the Spirit but have faced some storms lately and the enemy has surrounded you, tonight's the night to dig your heels into the rock of ages, into the truth, and to proclaim boldly that I am not backing down. That this world isn't going to drag me down, that this world isn't going to push me to what it wants me to believe, but I'm standing my ground no matter, even if you put me against the gates of hell. Something stronger is holding me up. Something stronger is going to uphold me. Something greater is going to carry me through. And I'm going to bring as many people with me, every single classmate, I'm going to preach to them. Every single person I come in contact with, your spirit is going to flow through me and into them. And we aren't compromising, we aren't wavering. And tonight, Jehovah Shammah is going to bring you your victory tonight, because the Lord is here. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is victory. And these altars are open. I encourage every single person in here to come to the front and to proclaim your faith in the face of the enemy, in the face of God, in the face of those around you, saying, I'm not backing down. No matter how hard it gets, no matter how tough it gets, no matter how weary I feel, God, you are worth it. God, your life is worth it. Your eternity is worth it. In Jesus' name.
Well, I won't back down. No, I won't back down. You can stay. I won't be turned away.
proclaimed it. Now we act on it. This week, when temptations come, when pressures come, when the storms and the winds and the rain begins to blow, that we look the devil in the face and say, I won't back down. Go have victory. Go have a great week. Let's see you Wednesday, and let's see you Sunday morning.